It is our custom to prepare ourselves for the study of God's Word by having a few moments of silent prayer. And during that time, we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are the royal family of God, assembled together here to feed upon your mighty word. We recognize that it's not our intelligence, our IQ, that has anything to do with being able to assimilate your doctrine into our soul. It's all because of your grace. We recognize that times are getting darker and darker, and yet we need to keep our eternal sense of destiny in mind. We don't live for the day, even though we do live in the day. We make decisions and we live and we think according to what comes next in eternity. So we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate, that your word will soothe us where we need soothing, encourage us where we need encouraging, and give us courage where it is needed. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I've been thinking of doing this for a long time. I'm going to do it this morning. And I'm going to put the website up here. But before I put the website, I want to encourage you to stop either in the office or over here in the where the organ is, on top of the organ. We have cards, Country Bible Church cards. And you need to put them in your purse, in your wallet, in your pocket, whatever. Carry them with you. And when you talk to someone and you get the chance to say something about your church, give them this card. It has the time that we meet. It also has, very importantly, on the bottom, our website. Whenever you witness to someone, give them a card. And say the website is on the bottom and you need to go to the website. Now, once they go to the website, this is what they're going to see. By the way, the website is countrybiblechurch.us. And this is what they're going to see when they go to the website. That's our website there. Let me turn these off as well. And there's a general layout here. You see the times for the Sunday service and Tuesday and Thursday service. And down a little further, for those, you can tell them that we live stream on these dates here, on these times. Here's the link for live streaming. All you have to do is click that hyperlink, boom, it takes you to the live streaming. And if they're there at 7 o'clock on Tuesday or Thursday or this morning at 10:30, they can see the service. Also, here's the red button. Now, when you give the gospel to someone or you give a card to someone, say, go to the website, and on the homepage, you're going to see a big red button. And this is what it says. Do you know where you'll spend eternity? If you're not certain, click on this button to find out for sure. Now, that's what they call a teaser. Anybody that doesn't click that button and they don't know what's going to happen to them after they die are just really not with it. I mean, anyway, tell them to click the red button if they don't know where they're going to spend eternity. Up here higher, this band has hyperlinks here. We're on the home page right now. I guess I'll show a little bit more about the home page, the way it's laid out. Everything over here on the right is where the action is, essentially. This information we have is about us. See, we have it right here. How to make donations and podcasts. The podcasts are not operable right now, but they're still there. They're not up to speed. Then we have the current series right here. We have discernment, minor prophets, tolerating tyranny, interview archives. For, I don't know, there's probably 100 interviews that I had with Dr. Jim Britell pastor of the Christian Way of Life Church in Maumelle, Arkansas. And you can click on there, and it has all these dates, and if you want to hear those interviews. The Tolerating Tyranny is a book I wrote about a year ago. And then we have specials. The specials would be when people are here, missionaries are here, speakers are here. Sometimes I do specials. Maybe it might be a Christmas special, Easter special, things like that. That's where those are. So these are the things that are currently going on. Then down here we have the previous series. Now the previous series are essentially a lot of the things I've done. Of course, it's not all here. But we have, for instance, Colossians. We went through the book of Colossians, the Star series. Pastor Naboth Otuko's radio in Africa. Those people who are in Africa, if they know him, want to hear what he has to say. And you as well. This is for anybody. They can click on there and hear his radio messages. Here's the book of Joshua, Getting the Gospel Right, 1 Kings, 1 Peter. It goes on and on. Here we have the Bible Profile, the David series. Down here we have, right here, Mechanics of Applying Doctrine. I call it the MAD series. And what it does is for every issue that you face, there's a correlating doctrine that you can use in order to neutralize the adversity and so forth that is there. Anyway, here's Romans 13, Will America Survive? These are in alphabetical order. Of course, these are the numbers up here, like 2 Peter and so forth. So all you have to do is click on that and it will take you to it. I would click on it and show you how it works, where to go, but it's self-explanatory. And if I do that, I won't get through this. Down at the bottom here, on the right-hand side, you have publications. So you can go to, for instance, some people don't know that we have a scripture guide. I'll click on that one. Did I click? Oh, scripture guide. There it goes. Okay. Well, that was not coming up. I had this trouble last night. Cancel. Anyway, that a scripture guide, what it is an index starting alphabetically with authority. It goes into marriage. It goes into rearing children, salvation, all that. And it just gives a reference, and then it gives scriptures that deal with it. We have it back in our library as well. All these books we have in the library, but also people can go online and get them. Or if you're at home, you don't have the book, just go online and you can see all the publications that I've done are on there. Now that's kind of the layout of it. This is just about Tolerating Tyranny here. If they want to go to toleratingtyranny.com to get information on that book. Here's where the action is up here. First, we have About Us. If people want to know something about us, we click on there. This is about Country Bible Church. It gives the address, the service times, when we observe the Lord's Supper over here. This is our doctrinal statement of something about me personally. A map to Country Bible Church, links of interest. So if someone wants to know what we're about, they go there. This is a list of doctrines, hyperlinked. So if you want to know something, for instance, about dispensations or drinking or lordship salvation, list of sins, this is one of the ones that people like. We got more hits on that than anything else. It makes me think, must be a lot of sinful people out there. And they're worried. Okay, so that's the doctrines. Then we have the visuals. Here's the visuals, the PowerPoints that I've done. And you can see there's a lot of them here. I'll give you, like this is the timeline of the Day of the Lord. And so that gives you, this is a timeline, church age. This is the time of the tribulation, the seal judgments, trumpet bowls, so forth. Just give you an idea of what that looks like. And you can do that. Uh-oh, did I shut the whole thing down? I think I shut the whole thing down. Okay, let's go back up here. I'll show you how if you have a high-speed internet, how quickly you can get on the website. I have it up here. Country Bible Church. See my cursor here? I have it marked there, so all I have to do is click that, and there we are, right back up to speed. So that's the visuals. If you want to order any of the things that we have, here's where you click. If you want audio, CDs and DVDs, and then if you want MP3s, you order them here, and there's a form that you can fill out. We even have music. Here are the people who have sung and special people, the singing. You want to hear what y'all sound like?
No.
Let's see. Where's my... Well, it might be good, y'all. Okay. Where's my mouse? Can y'all hear?
Off the TV.
Oh, off the TV. Is it going off the TV? Okay. Anyway, that's the music, if you're inclined to want some music. And then if you want to contact the church, you can just click... put your name and put your message right here, and we will get that information. If you want to say something nice, especially, you can do it. If you don't want to say something nice, go ahead. We can take it. All right. Here's one of the main things that reason I want to show you this is because this is called the search. If you click on this search, it brings up. See this box right here? Right here? Now, when you type something in there, it's going to search the whole website. And if let's say, for instance, you want to, we were going over divorce recently. You put D-I-V-D-I-B-O-R-C-E. A divorce. You just put divorce in there and hit the search engine. There it is. That's how long it takes it. And there's 37 results, and see, these are hyperlinked. These principles have been ignored as evidenced by the soaring divorce rate, and it gives you the information down here. You probably can't see it. It's too light for where you see it, but it's telling you that this came from, this is in one of the publications. Some of these are titles where divorce is a title for one of the audios. So if you want to hear audio that includes divorce, you would click on that. It would take you to an audio. Some of these are from notes. And it says down here that, for instance, three major attacks against marriage. And this was in some notes. And if I clicked on that, it would take you to the notes. You see how handy that is? Someone calls you and they say, I had an argument about polygamy with someone, and they're asking you, do you know anything about polygamy? Does the Bible say anything about polygamy? So you put polygamy in the search engine. Let's see if we have anything here. Yep. We have 9 results, it says up here. So you can just go to any of these hyperlinks here and click on it, and it'll tell you about polygamy. Now, that's slick. And I hope that y'all take advantage of that, because it will help you tremendously to keep... Oh, and down at the... Let me go back one here. Let's just go back to... Well, no, I got to stay here. Okay. You see this right here? This is search the Bible for. You can click a word in here. Polygamy, and the word polygamy isn't in the Bible, not in most translations. But let's say you put divorce in there. Well, it'll take you to all the verses in the Bible that deal with divorce. All of that is right there at our fingertips on our website. And I bet less than 1% of you are using it. That's why I'm showing it to you, so that you will be able to. It's a massive amount of information on there, and you need to encourage people to go to it and take the cards. We have some up here, and if we run out, I have some up here as well. And take them with you, so when you're talking to people about the church, or even if you're witnessing to them, whatever it may be, you can give them that card. Because as much as you think you might have made an impression on them, it's very possible that they're not going to remember much of what you said, especially when we meet, what the times are. Give them that card and emphasize that website so they can go there and get some doctrine. Okay? All right, that's why we didn't have the first song, because I took up some time. Yes, Dennis. Well, it started back, probably 24 years ago. And there was a lady that came to the church then, and she came to me and asked, would you like to have a website? I said, well, sure. She had a side business doing the website. And so she set it all up, and it just started growing from there. And over time, she moved away. And so now we have, we have quite a bit of money invested in getting the word out on live streaming and on the internet. It costs us to live stream. It costs us just to have Christian Netcast is the place that we go to that provides the live streaming for us. And the internet, you have to pay for the internet. Also, when we update the internet, this message will go on the internet probably by Friday, possibly. And we have to take the process of recording it, and then we send that to the people who update the internet. The reason I'm telling you all this is there's a lot of things going on so that we can use this internet, use the live streaming, and you need to get that word out to folks and give them a card with it so they'll remember and try it out. Okay, does that answer your question? Okay. All right, now we're changing gears now. I'd like you to take your Bible and open to the book of Amos. The book of Amos. Amos chapter 5 and verse 6 is where we're going to start. Amos chapter 5 and verse 6. Here it is on the board as well. Let me give you a little background. Amos was from the southern kingdom, and God tapped him on the shoulder and said, I want you to be a prophet. Go to the northern kingdom. He was essentially a farmer, but he obeyed. He went to the northern kingdom, Israel, and he started telling them, this is in Amos chapter 1 and some in chapter 2, he starts telling them how God is going to punish all the pagan nations around them. And he has condemned them, and they're going to be punished. And so they're all on board for that. That's fine. But he didn't stop there. They were going to be next on the agenda. And that's what we're covering now. This is the God's own people. And rather than getting preferential treatment, they were going to get it worse. They will get more discipline because to whom much is given, much is expected. And they had dropped the ball completely. So now we're in chapter 5, verse 6. And I have in red up here because this really just stands out to you. Seek the Lord that you may live. That's Amos chapter 5, verse 6 through 7. If there was a slogan that you need to remember whenever you go to witness to someone, this would be a good one. Because we're not telling people, listen, you need to invite Christ into your heart. He'll come along and co-op with you and make you live a better life. For many, that's the gospel today. But that's not the gospel. If you could distill it to its bare essence, this is what you're saying to them. This is the information that you're giving them. Seek the Lord that you may live. Now, I told you last Sunday that if you thought that this is just given in an experiential way and it's talking about delivering from death, you'd be right. Or if you thought that this is referring to eternal life, you'd be right as well. For either way, that's true. We need to seek the Lord that we may live. But as far as the syntax is concerned and the context is concerned, this is a message to Israel. Seek the Lord that you may be delivered is what this means. It's talking about to die physically. And they were on their way out. So this really goes out there and gets your attention. Seek the Lord that you may live, or He will break forth like a fire, O house of Joseph. House of Joseph being Israel, the northern kingdom. And it will consume with none to quench it for Bethel. Bethel was the center of pagan worship in Israel. Now I thought about this. It will break forth like a fire. That break forth, it's kind of like it's not just a little candle. It's something, it's like smelling smoke and you go into your kitchen and it's on fire. What does the fire have a tendency to do? Get out of control in no time, doesn't it? And what does it do? It destroys. And so it's talking about you have a decision to make. You have an option. You're either going to seek the Lord or He's going to break forth like a fire. That's a neither or. There's no in-betweens. Either seek Him, be humble, and if you're already a believer, you're asking for deliverance and help to go through the storms, or He will break forth like a fire in the house of Joseph, in Israel. And it will consume with the none to quench it at Bethel. Verse 7, for those who turn justice into wormwood, wormwood means bitterness. It's found in Revelation chapter 8 about a meteor coming down called wormwood. And cast righteousness down to the earth. So first of all, he's telling them what to do. Here's the solution is to seek the Lord. But if you don't do this, then He is going to break out like a fire and He's going to consume. And this is one reason why. For those who turn justice into wormwood and cast righteousness down to earth. Let's look at the northern kingdom, the people He was talking to. First of all, they were very prosperous. They were under Jeroboam II and everything was going well. And they were going to church. Well, not really going to church. They didn't go to the church. They went to the temple. They were worshiping. At least they were going through the motions of worshiping. Their heart wasn't in it. Their sacrifices weren't pure. In other words, the Israelites were to take the best specimens they have. If it was a lamb or the best plants they had, whatever they were going to be offering would be the best, but they would start giving the coals to the Lord because they were thinking, I need to get rid of them anyway. That would translate today into people who go to churches and they're not really seeking the Lord, they're seeking company. People go to churches for friendship. Many churches are nothing more than a glorified country club. The pastor has maybe 15-minute sermon now. Let's hurry up and get that over with, so that we can get on with the real business, which is socializing. Nothing wrong with socializing. Nothing wrong with having friends in church. In fact, you'll have the best friends you'll ever find. But that's not why we are here. We are here to feed on God's Word. This is really more than a church. It's a schoolhouse. It's to take you believers from spiritual immaturity all the way to spiritual maturity. And we do that one lesson at a time, and we do it in order for us not only to live the phenomenal, abundant life that God wants us to have here, but also for tremendous rewards, decorations, privileges, opportunities for all eternity. That's why we're here. And yet, these people were going to worship, and God would not accept their sacrifices, because they were just going through the motions. So that kind of sets forth the idea of what it was like. Isaiah 45:22 says, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." What a powerful message. Short and to the point. Ezekiel 33:11. "Say to them," this is the Lord telling Ezekiel, "say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel?" Boy, that just penetrates right into my soul. You see, the Lord doesn't take pleasure in the destruction and the death of those who do evil. That's not what He takes pleasure in. Why does He do it? Why doesn't He just kind of wink at sin sometimes? Why does He not cut anybody any slack? Because He is perfect in His righteousness and justice. He is altogether completely holy. And He demands the same from us. Of course, we can't be holy like God is holy. But if you're a believer, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He is the one that enables you to produce what no unbeliever can produce, and that is what we call divine good. Because it is the Holy Spirit that enables you to do the good things, to produce the fruit that God requires. For those who don't do it, God is not a slack parent. Parent, let me tell you something. From what I can tell, and this isn't official, but it's from several trips to HEB. And just watching the kids. Pathetic parents. I can't believe it. I have to rebound. I have to be on my P's and Q's spiritually because I mentally murder about a dozen kids before I get out of there. But God isn't like that. He's not slack. You get out of line, He's on it. He doesn't want to have to punish anyone. But now we're talking on a national scale. And He's warned them and He's rewarned them. He's warned them and warned them. And now the grace ends and the judgment begins. And some people, they just can't wrap their mind around, "Oh, well, God is love. Little baby Jesus. He's not really going to do anything to someone who says that they love Him." Oh, really? If someone says that, just doesn't know anything about Amos, doesn't know anything about the Bible. He doesn't want to do it, but He will do it. And He says, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die? You surely are going to die. You're going to be destroyed, O house of Israel. Instead of having, "O house of Israel," if we put America there, would it fit? You better know that it will fit. This is God's Word speaking out to everybody, everyone here, everybody who is listening, that God is knocking on the door. By the way, that's Revelation chapter 3, and it's been distorted all these years. That's Christ knocking on the door of your heart. You open your heart and He will come in. That's where they say, open your heart to Jesus. That's the gospel. That is not the gospel. That clearly is in the context of divine discipline. And that knock on the door is warning discipline. And if you don't humble yourself and seek the Lord, acknowledge your transgressions, then what's going to happen is what we see here. Turn. And for some, the old adage, turn or burn, is true. That is what the gospel is about. This is a quote from Roy B. Zook, Bible Theology of the Old Testament. Great theologian. This is what he says. In rejecting hypocritical formalism and stressing the importance of faithfulness in one's relationship to both God and man, the prophets articulate a theological principle that permeates the entire Bible. You understand that? In other words, the faithfulness that you have towards other people in your relationships with them is married and connected to your relationship with God. So you had rulers and you had people who were well connected and rich, and they were oppressing the people. And though they were going through the motions of worshiping Him, their actions denied that they had a relationship with God at that time. You understand what he's saying here? And he says it permeates the entire Bible. So God was rejecting the hypocritical formalism, stressing the importance of faithfulness in one's relationship, not only to God, but into man as well. Here's another way to put it. No vital relationship with God is possible if one is unfaithful to the responsibilities arising out of his God-given relationships with his fellow man. Look at that first sentence. No vital relationship with God is possible. That should get your attention. It says no vital relationship. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you put your faith alone in Christ alone, then your Heavenly Father is the God of the universe, God the Father. And your relationship with Jesus Christ can never be broken in the sense that you are now kin to Him. You are a child of God. Jesus Christ is your King. It's just like you can have a relationship with your parents in that no matter where you go, what you do, or what they do, or where they go, you will always be their child. But that's not the kind of relationship it's talking about here. It's talking about how close are you? You'll always be in the family of God, but you will never be close if you mistreat people. In relationships, especially. All kinds of God-directed religious and devotional exercises, including sacrifice and prayer, are futile apart from this relational foundation. What is the relational foundation? It's number one with God. That's your number one relationship. You should be talking to God more than anybody else. You're relying with him, on Him. He never lets you down. That is really close, you see. That's what we want. That's what we need. That's what we can have. But you cannot have that vital foundational relationship with Him if you are mistreating people in your relationships with them. Here's another way to put it. This is 1 John 4:20-21. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. What if his brother stinks? And you take that figuratively or literally. What about if you can't... Nobody likes this person. Is there any qualifications about brother? You see, God is trying to train us and develop within us that we treat other people like He treats us. And if you don't do that, then your relationship with Him is suffering. How about you wives? You wonder why sometimes you don't feel very close to God? Are you obeying your husband? If you are not obeying your husband, then you are defying what God has commanded, and that is going to affect your relationship with God. Can you understand that? How about you husbands? Oh, I'm not going to leave you out. You wives are thinking, oh yeah, he's picking on the women again. Do you love your wife as Christ loved the church? And do you show it and do you tell her how much you love her? If you don't do that, then your relationship with God suffers. So it's in all your relationships. The relationship of marriage, children, friends, acquaintances, all this. Whenever you treat them in a way that is not faithful to the way that God treats us, then your relationship with Him suffers. Matthew 5:23-24 says, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, now remember, they were making their sacrifices as part of their worship. He says, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. Why was he? Here's the offering and it's put down here. And you think, uh-oh. Oh, George down the street, we're not getting along. It says, leave your offering there and go make it right with George and then come back and make the offering. Why? Why leave right then? Because that offering means nothing. If there is ill will that you have towards your brother, if there's something not right, make it right. It's the stronger one that goes to his brother, that goes to someone else, and tries to heal a relationship. It is arrogance that always gets in the way. They don't deserve it. He did so-and-so. She did so-and-so. They don't deserve it. I don't have to be the one. Let them come to me. Is that the way God treats us? And if we don't treat others that same way, then our relationship with God suffers. And people, we're so great. We're professionals at making excuses. We major in the yeah, but, don't we? We know what the Bible says. Yeah, but so-and-so. Or yeah, but this. Or yeah, but that. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Whew! Now it's getting serious. Because when God does not forgive your transgressions, you're in heap big trouble. Implacability. That's when someone wants to be reconciled and you'll have none of it. You give them the stiff arm. Do people have to deserve forgiveness to give them forgiveness? No, they don't have to deserve it, of course. Do we? So if we have a hateful, unforgiving attitude towards someone, God will not forgive our sins. So holding a grudge against someone isn't a very good idea, is it? Are you holding a grudge this morning? I don't want to know. But I imagine in this crowd, at least there's at least one that's been nourishing a grudge against someone. Oh, you try to hide it. But when someone brings up their name, you go, you know, your body language just shouting, I don't like them, I haven't forgiven them, I've got a grudge against them, and they deserve it. You can do that with a look, with a sigh. Oh, man. Do you know the damage that that does? Oh, but we're innocent. I mean, we didn't mean anything by it. Now you've added a lie. That's a good question, but that word forgiveness is very general and somewhat vague. The question was, if you forgive them, but you really don't want to be around them anymore, is that still forgiveness? Is that pretty much what you said?
That's it.
Yeah. And the answer is yes in this sense, is that there's a forgiveness that we make in our soul, even whether they desire or request to be forgiven or not. And that means we're not going to have that hateful attitude towards them, because that affects our relationship with God. It means that we don't talk about them, we don't condemn them, we don't even have to like them to forgive them, but we're not going to commit any mental attitude sins towards that person. That doesn't, just because you forgive someone doesn't mean that you can be buddies and chummy or anything else after that. That's the mental one. But for those who have committed an act, an egregious act against you, right, a transgression against you, and they have not taken responsibility for it, they don't want to be forgiven, they don't ask for forgiveness, you're not required to try to have an active relationship with them, because it would be phony. But it means that you don't talk about them, you don't gossip about them, you don't hate them in your own soul, you have moved on.
But what if they did ask for your forgiveness?
Then, that's a good question.
And you still really don't want to have anything to do with
them. Well, then you got a very... He said, what happens if they ask for forgiveness and you really still don't want to have anything to do with them, or you don't want to forgive them? Then you've got...
I do want to forgive them. I do forgive them.
Uh-huh.
But I just don't want to continue the relationship.
Well, yeah, as long as you don't have any mental attitude sins. He says, I still want to... I do want to forgive them, but I don't want to have a relationship with them. If you can do that and not have any mental attitude sins towards them, that's fine. You see? Well, you're sitting in a whole bunch of people that need work on that. But the Bible says to forgive as Christ forgives us. Peter asked Jesus, how many times do I need to forgive? 40 times 40. That's a lot of forgiving. In other words, when someone asks for forgiveness and you don't give it, that you're being implacable. And what is that going to do with your relationship with God? Is He going to ignore that? You see, when we don't forgive, we are destroying ourselves, not the person that committed something against us. You know, that's where that unconditional, impersonal love comes in. You leave them in God's hands, let Him deal with it, and you move on. Okay? Which is what I'm going to do. Okay. All right, see that? So if we have a hateful, unforgiving attitude towards someone, God will not forgive our sins. That's an overt, serious issue, isn't it? So like you said, I don't want to forgive them. They say, will you forgive me? No, I'm going to hold a grudge. I don't like you. I'm never going to like you. I like to see you get cancer.
Oh, no.
Well, I know, I'm not saying you do, but I mean, in people's minds, y'all are so goody-goody. Who would do that? You! Probably already done it. I don't want to get to that one yet. Okay. Oh, y'all are really pious. Now I done went to meddling, didn't I? Okay, now, we go to verse 7, and, no, not here. Let me get off of this for a minute. Let's see, let me get off of here. You don't need to see all this transition here. I'll go back to, see, this was dealing with the first part of the verse. Go back to our verse here. Seek the Lord that you may live, or He will break forth like a fire, O house of Joseph, Israel, and it will consume you with none to quench it. Now, for those who turn justice into wormwood, bitterness, and cast righteousness down to the earth. That's what we're going to deal with now. And this is referring to judges, people who had a sway over other people. And what we see here is that God has quite a bit to say about judges. Here's a few verses for you. Deuteronomy 16:18-20. You shall appoint for yourself judges and officers in all your towns which the Lord your God has given you according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not distort justice. You shall not be partial. You shall not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Justice and only justice shall you pursue. And listen what Deuteronomy says after that. He's talking to judges. You are to do all of these things. And he says, justice and only justice you shall pursue that you may live. What does that suggest? This is Deuteronomy 16:18 through 20. This is verse 20. Justice and only justice you shall pursue that you may live and possess the land which the Lord your God has given you. And then he says, concerning evil, this is Micah 7:3-4. Micah 7:3-4. Concerning evil, both hands do it well. The prince asks also, and the judge for a bribe. And a great man speaks the desire of his soul. So they weave it together. The best of them is like a briar. The utmost like a thorn hedge. That's the best of them. They're saying that, see, they get together, they come up with what's the best way that we can make decisions that's going to aggrandize, benefit us. And they take bribes and so forth. God says they're no better than a stickery hedge. Deuteronomy 1:16-17. Then I charge your judges at that time, saying, hear the cases between your fellow countrymen, and judge righteously between a man and his fellow countryman or the alien who is with him. You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. Whew! Do we need to have that here? You shall not fear man, for the judgment is God's. Judges, all they're doing, they're in between God and man, and they are judging on God's behalf. They don't just take things into their own hands. I think I'll decide that. No, they have to be righteous in their judgment because they're judging for God. Now, there is an article here that I have a few little excerpts from that illustrates the need for this justice. Well, I guess I'll show this here before I start that. This is, have you all ever seen Lady Justice? Here's a rendition of her. She's got the scales balancing for judgment. She's got the sword, if it's not right. And she's got a blindfold on. Now, the scales and the blindfold ensures fairness and no partiality. No double standard. That's been in the news lately, hasn't it? No double standard. You heard about that? Hmm. I think Lady Liberty is peeking out from under the blindfold there. Here's another picture of her. And another. Blindfolded. These you can see these all over. So, the name of this article, and it's just excerpts, is called American Appeasers, The Show Goes On. Now, it's talking about people who are in places of judgment, usually judges, but they can be congressmen, they can be all kinds of people. And they're not judging righteously. They are appeasers of certain people who are judged by a double standard. I'm just setting that up. Okay, here's what he says. Oh, and I'm going to say this as well. When I read an article, when I go into something like this, what I'm doing is helping you apply what we're learning from this ancient text. I learned a long time ago, it was in the David series. One time I taught a lesson. I didn't make any application. I just taught exactly what was in there. And when I went home, I felt flat. I just felt like something's missing. And from that, I've learned all of us have to do this. I can read Amos to you. I can read these verses. This is applied to Israel, and this is what happened. It's more than a history lesson. This is God speaking to us directly today. And so when I read an article, I'm making an application that just, boom, is applicable to us in the here and now. In fact, this little article, guess what verse it had in it? Amos 5:7 in this article. You think I'm going to pass that up? I have some other ones as well, but here we go. This is by Brandon Lee. It came out July 22nd, 2016. He starts out by saying, soft judges create hardened criminals. It's a good start. Soft judges create hardened criminals. You would think with all the corruption found within the career politicians in America that it would be fairly simple to bring forth indictments and justice. Yet Americans are conditioned through appeasers, and he says in parentheses here, this would be American prosecutors, through hearing after hearing, investigation after investigation, and in the end, no resolve when it comes to justice, only talk. Sound familiar? Appease is defined as to bring to a state of peace, quiet, calm, to appease anger. Instead of prosecuting criminals, they simply put on a show, and he says, WWF at its very worst. You know what WWF is? I think it's the World Wrestling Federation. To appease only to say through their inactions, just go to sleep, America, we've got this. And then guess what verse he quotes? Amos chapter 5, verse 7. Which says, for those who turn justice into wormwood, bitterness, and cast righteousness to the earth. They just throw righteousness down on the ground. They could care less about it, is what it's talking about. American politicians have become hardened criminals towards American institution of our Constitution and Republic. And that was in Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. He says, from Fast and Furious to Benghazi, the IRS scandal, up to the Clinton email scandal, and I added a few, the killings at Ruby Ridge and the Waco massacre. Out of all of those, and there's more, there's many, many more. How about sanctuary cities? Out of all of these, where are the indictments? Where are the people who were put into prison? Who are the ones that were executed? Where has there been any punitive action at all against any of these things? It's not there. No one is held responsible if you are in the upper echelon because you're held to a different standard. And I don't know about you, but I am sick of it. I want to see some justice. I want to see some heads roll. Righteously, that's what should be happening. The agent that shot Randy Weaver's wife as she was on the front porch with a little baby and killed her, was he fired? No, he was promoted. He was in Waco. He was on the one of the leaders of one of the sniper squads. I mean, well, you get the picture. He says the list of appeasements towards crime goes on and on. How many have been prosecuted? How many indictments were delivered by the American people to those who have committed crimes against them? But the show goes on, all talk and no action. It says Congress has an 11% approval rating. 11%. That means 89 out of 100 people loathe the Congress. Therefore, it is not like the American people do not know that there is something seriously wrong with them who are to serve we the people rather than themselves, special interest groups. And then he gives Jeremiah 5:21-22. This is what it says. Now hear this. I love verses that start like that. You know, in the Navy, maybe Charlie can tell me that. Even in the Navy, what, 20 years? 20? It's kind of a whistle or something. Yeah. Now, do they really do that to get your attention? I'm not going to fall for that one. It means, okay, when that little whistle goes off like that, it means you better listen. So this verse starts out, now hear this. O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Isn't that the message that we need to hear as a country? Do we not fear the Lord? Because when people ignore God long enough, He becomes a consuming fire. As it said in verse 6, that breaks out. He says over and over, these criminals remain in office regardless of what they do, only to commit another crime on another day. This is because justice is overlooked. So I ask, what is the difference between those who are committing the crimes and those who fail to prosecute them? The evidence shows that there is none. It seems to me that the fox is guarding the chicken coop. It seems like these criminals have someone standing in the gap protecting their every move and their every crime. If it were not so, then where are the indictments and where are the convictions? There are none, even when the crimes committed are clearly evident. The end result, the appeasers help create the pacifists, and America simply goes back to sleep and wonder why their country is in the state that it's in. And I'm going to close with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, and verses 14 through 16. It says, Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. For this reason it says that it is the Old Testament. Listen to this now. Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead. That is God's message to America. Are we going to hear it? And Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. God is serious about what we think and about what we do, how we treat people, and our attitude towards injustice. You can't expose evil if you keep your mouth shut, can you? You can't expose evil if you're willing to look the other way. You can't expose evil if you're afraid, if you speak out, that it might not go well for you. People might not like you. You might get the government's attention. They might persecute you. And so what are we to do? Are we to keep our mouth shut? And I would say, well, do we fear God or do we not? Do we fear God more than we do government? Those are the questions that are put to us today. And Amos is shouting out through the ages. Fire is about to break out. We need to stand on the side of justice and righteousness and truth, regardless of the consequences. And this verse, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Do you want Christ to shine on you? Do you want Christ to shine on America? Then we have to start, it has to start with us being willing to expose the evil and not comply with or have anything to do with all of the complicity and lack of judgment and ignorance of God that's going on in our country. I'd like you all to please bow your heads. This last portion of the service is devoted to someone who is in this group or maybe may be live streaming. Jesus Christ controls history. He is the Son of God. The greatest question you will ever face is, what think ye of Christ? Is He the Son of God? Did He really go to the cross and pay for your sins? Did He really rise from the grave, and does he really offer eternal life as a gift to anyone who will trust him and him alone for it? He's the only one that can give it. He only gives it as a gift. It's based on faith in his work on the cross. If you haven't made that decision, you can make it right now. And it will seal your eternal destiny. If you believe in Jesus Christ and him alone as your Redeemer, and you're not counting on your own works, in that moment you are born again, you become a royal family member of God, and your ticket to heaven is guaranteed. That's guaranteed, but we're in the here and now. And the only way to be able to please our God is to be humble, to seek him, and then obey him. And Father, we're so thankful for your mighty word. We pray that it will stick with us. The Holy Spirit will resonate these things that we learned this morning, that we concentrated on and focused on this morning, and that will make a real difference. We pray this in Christ's most high and holy name. Amen.